Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, today's a tech update. We'll be sharing our holiday tech gift guide with our guest, Beth D'Angelo, and looking forward to doing that. But also looking forward to talking about our Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive. And tell you what, Jill Nadeau is with me today, and she is here to help us.
That's right. I'm here to help you. That's my life goal, Larry, is to help you and our listeners.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, it's fun because we have a dollar-for-dollar match.
Love that. Always
$3,000. And it's a generous match, of course, is from current members, including a member in Plymouth, and it means that they'll match every gift you give.
That's right. It's their way to encourage you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support right now. It's a great opportunity at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I know you enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe it's in part because we're commercial free. That means we depend on other sources of funding. We look at state, federal, business sponsors, very important. And there's another source that's very important, too.
There certainly is. It's the largest piece of all of this funding concoction, this recipe for WPR. And that comes from you. Your support makes all the difference. It's the backbone of how things work around here. And when you give, you keep the quality, independent news, talk, whatever you want on the air. So make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Like me, WPR probably has a preset in your home or car. Maybe your home and your car. You listen to WPR a lot. So help pay for the station you enjoy so much. You can become a member today.
And make the switch from someone who listens to someone who listens and contributes. And you can start with a gift of, you know, maybe $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What are the qualities of a good friend?
Someone who takes an interest in you, asks you questions, good listener, reliable, supportive.
A good friend is going to keep you company when you really need it, introduce you to new ideas, new music, recommend books to read.
Trustworthiness, always being available when needed, reliability.
Just like you can count on a dear friend, you can count on Wisconsin Public Radio for trustworthy news, engaging stories, and high-quality entertainment. And like any good friendship, WPR relies on you in return. Your financial support makes the essential service you trust and value possible. Your gift now really makes a difference. Here's how to give.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation this year during our year-end member drive. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support. And your contribution of could be $10 a month, might be $100 a month, whatever amount you choose makes a difference for our entire community.
And supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, contact info, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, we have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now. And, it looks like we did get a nice donation so far. We've got $420, so that means we need $2,580 of our $3,000. See how I did that in my head, Larry? I am so good at math. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And here's another nice deal. You can ask for your 2024 Wisconsin State Park admission sticker when you give $25 a month or more. Support one treasured Wisconsin resource, WPR, and get access to another, the state park system. Ask for yours right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, well, thank you very much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or maybe $10 a month or whatever amount that you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Marta in Madison says, every day I learn timely and interesting things about almost anything and everything. So thank you very much. Thank you, Marta. And thank you with your gift right now. It's so, so, so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Please do it right now as we talk with, you can do it while we talk with our guest, Beth D'Angelo. We're taking a look at holiday tech. We've got a gift guide, perhaps. Beth is a senior IT specialist in UW-Madison's Division of Information Technology. So as we talk with her, I hope you join in. Let us know which tech gifts are on your list this year. Maybe you need some help deciding which phone or which laptop to buy. Beth can give you some advice from a security standpoint for sure. We'll take your general tech questions as well, of course, if you have those. Join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Beth D'Angelo, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for having me back.
So what are the hot tech trends for gifts in 2023?
Oh my gosh, there's so much new stuff. I've been kind of focusing lately on tech gifts around the smart home experience because those have seen some changes recently. And I know folks are always interested in what the latest and greatest gadgets are that they can connect up in their house to make things easier around there. So I've been looking into kind of the different rooms of the house and how those are changing to integrate new devices.
So is it pretty, I mean, you know, it seems like a lot. There's stuff everywhere in all parts of the house, but I mean, to get the everything set up and synchronized, is it a lot of work?
Yeah, and really it can be if you're not strategic about how you go about it. So if you're buying products kind of one-off and different brands, different generations of equipment, things that don't have natural compatibility with each other, getting that all to communicate together to work in any kind of one central system is a little bit difficult. But if you're strategic about it and you start off with the base model or an assistant or, you know, what they would consider like a base of operations for your house with a specific brand or operating system in mind, and then you build on that with compatible parts, then you can have a really well humming machine as you add things on to be compatible with each other.
Yeah. You travel quite a bit. Any tech gift recommendations for people who also travel?
I know certainly having an RFID proof wallet is a very good idea while you're traveling, just to protect your cards, your IDs, to protect that. You know, most of us are now not carrying physical currency with us often. Most of our currency is digital. So our credit cards, our debit cards, RFID readers have become pretty prevalent, easy to use, cheap for folks to purchase and use for ripping off credit card numbers, stealing identities. So RFID wallets, I think, for frequent travelers are a great idea just to keep some peace of mind.
And what are these wallets like? I mean, what are they, lead-lined or something? Or?
Yeah, they really just have a special protective material inside that doesn't allow radio frequency to penetrate to be able to read the magnetic strip that's on that card.
Okay, so they're not heavy lead-lined.
No, no. I mean, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference just looking at it. But they have some special material built into them that doesn't allow that radio signal to penetrate and kind of negates those devices that folks are using to try to steal information from people. And I think when traveling, that's a particularly vulnerable time for people. They've got, you know, things in and out of their pockets, in and out of their suitcases frequently. So knowing that your money's protected on those cards inside of a wallet that can't be read by an external device kind of helps you feel like you're not going to have that stuff stolen.
We have Lottie in Silver Lake with a question. Let's go there. Hi, Lottie.
Yeah, hi. I was just curious. You hear a lot about privacy invasion with like smart TVs or smart refrigerators or whatever, any smart items in the home. I'm wondering, you know, how much truth there is to that, and, you know, how much we would have to be concerned about, you know, I've heard the TV can actually listen even though the TV's off, it's still recording information. And again, I'm just curious how much of that is truth, and, you know, do we need to worry about privacy invasion with smart items in the house?
Go ahead. Thank you, Lottie.
Yeah, I think likely not as much as you would need to worry about it with something like your cell phone, which is usually on your person 24/7. So that's a device I would be even more concerned about, whether or not there are applications running on that piece of equipment that could have access to the microphone and be able to listen to anything that comes in through that microphone on that device. That can certainly happen on a smart device in your home if it does have a microphone built into it. So knowing what you're purchasing, if it's a device that you can talk to, then obviously you know it has a hardware microphone built into it and there's some sort of software that manages that microphone. What you want to do is be careful about the type of software that you are running on those devices, taking a look at the configuration of that software. So let's say on my smartphone, I've got an app that has permission to use certain devices within my smartphone. I can take a look at the settings for my microphone to see that I've got it turned off for anything that I don't want to be able to use that device. So making sure that you're checking the configuration settings for any application that you've got on your cell phone is a very good idea, on your tablets as well. Any device that's got a microphone in your home, like a Google Home device or an Alexa device that you're talking to, you're going to want to dig into the settings of that to see when that device is available to listen, whether or not you're actually using the application, so that you understand what to expect with that service.
Have good points. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. We had an email from, the screen got moved a little bit. There we go. Sherry emailed us with a question. Why does she have to update everything so darn often? Computers, apps, everything. Can't they just stay the same?
Right. Don't we wish we could just have like some continuity and that nothing ever had to change? It'd be nice. Unfortunately, there are people out there that are always looking for ways to exploit vulnerabilities in software and hardware. So, you know, whether for scam purposes, for identity theft, for, you know, misappropriating your device for using for some other malicious means, there are folks who are constantly targeting devices out there to try to find vulnerabilities to be able to use those to their advantage, which is the main reason why things like your operating system on your computer and the operating system on your smartphone release updates to protect against any of those malicious attacks or to close those vulnerabilities. And then as bugs within software are found and reported to companies, they do testing. They figure out where problems may have occurred within the original writing of the software, and they come up with bug fixes to get rid of those nasty little features that we don't like.
And that's why we have to be updating. And the other part of it is there comes a point when they can't be updated, and then they have to be replaced, and that's about every 5 years or so.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that our devices kind of age very quickly. So, but I like to think of the maintenance similar to how I have to treat my car. I got to get the oil changed. You got to rotate the tires. Got to make sure that it gets a full tune-up at 100,000 miles. You have to take care of these devices similar to how you would any kind of, you know, major device with moving parts.
And speaking of updates, we probably have some updates coming in our Wisconsin Public Radio end-of-year drive. This drive, think about how much you've learned from and enjoyed WPR programs in 2023. Here, 2024, just around the corner. So take some action. Give the public media service you rely on a big start for the new year at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Jill, our dollar-for-dollar match still rolling along.
It sure is, and it will be for the rest of this hour. So if you want to get that match, it might be gone. So I would say, you know, do it now. Don't put it off. It's a great time to donate because of that. And it's because it's including a member in Plymouth. Want to get that in there. And we'll double every dollar that you give. And it's a way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I think there's a lot to celebrate today. 2023 has been a big year, whether you've tuned in for daily news, maybe some inspiring stories or music. Listeners like you made all the programs you enjoy possible. And as we look to 2024, join in the celebration if you haven't done so already. Make your gift for the public media service you turn to all year long. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And you know, we're always looking for ways to make our life easier. Well, you can make your donation even easier when you become a sustainer. So choose an amount that's right for you, say $10 or $20 a month, and have it charged from your bank account or your credit card.
And when you're a sustainer, your monthly gift will continue year after year, so your support's always current. Start your ongoing monthly gifts now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. It's a powerful way to support the programs you love.
WPR is your source for everything Wisconsin. Local news, statewide conversations, and community events. And with 7 regional bureaus and 38 stations, WPR is with you throughout Wisconsin. This member drive, WPR wants to help you explore all that our great state has to offer. Ask for your 2024 Wisconsin State Park admission sticker when you give $25 a month for the WPR programs you value. From scenic dells to dramatic bluffs, you'll enjoy access to more than 60 parks and recreation areas. And when you tune in to WPR along the way, you'll have the satisfaction of knowing that you make the news, talk, and entertainment we all rely on possible. Give now. Here's how.
You can give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. This is our year-end member drive. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for our shows, and that's why your gift, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has an important impact.
And as we look ahead to 2024, we're so grateful that Wisconsin Public Radio has such strong listener support. One gift at a time, listeners provide our largest source of funding. And if you haven't given yet this year, now is the time. And if you have given this year, we appreciate your extra year-end gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that member drives are really important, and really important we hear from you. If you haven't donated to WPR before, we'd especially like to hear from you right now.
And any amount you give makes an important difference, and giving takes just a few minutes of your time, so go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and make a contribution of, say, $10 a month or $120. When you do, you make the WPR programs that you can count on every day possible. And Larry, we have about $2,500 left to go on that $3,000 matching thingy. What is that called?
Well, it's a match.
It's a match.
So listen, if you want to put in $500, we'll match it.
That's right.
It'll be me. I won't.
No, I won't either.
Somebody else.
We
somebody
work for
else
public
is,
radio.
Is going to match it. But I tell you what, if you haven't given, this would be a great time to do it. Laurie in Stoughton says, happy to be back in Wisconsin listening to WPR after living in another state for 12 years.
Wow, nice. Welcome back.
If you haven't made your gift, do it right now. So important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Beth D'Angelo, Senior IT Specialist of UW-Madison's Division of Information Technology. We're talking about technology gifts, answering other technology questions with her, and you can join in at 800-642-1234, email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. I was thinking about Christmas lists, and, you know, you've got ages there, anything from 2 years old, all the way up to about 80. What are some tech gifts for people of kind of different ages and interests?
Well, that's a really good question, different ages and interests. Well, one thing I know for folks in the older generation, there are some newer versions of electronic photo frames that can be updated remotely now and managed by someone else so that you don't have to mess around with trying to load a little card in one or, try to get it connected to another machine. So I think that's a great way to keep folks updated on a growing family and sending recent pictures and being able to share even video now on those is really great. I know when they first came out, they were a little hard to use, and now they've gotten really pretty cool.
I like that idea. Well, you can ponder some others. We have got something here from Lucy and Barron. She recently received a smart TV as a gift from her grandchild. Really nice gift, but she can't find out how it's supposed to connect to the internet. Does she need a special cord? She has Wi-Fi and the TV is a Samsung.
Yeah, usually the smart TVs have on the menu of the TV, there's generally a network configuration setting that you would go into. That you can usually go through, there's a wizard that will do an automatic connection, so it'll look for any Wi-Fi signals that the TV can see. So if you have Wi-Fi in your house, it'll see your Wi-Fi network. It'll ask you if you want to connect to that Wi-Fi network, and it'll ask for your password. It'll give you a little key board on the screen that you can choose your password on the keyboard, and then it'll connect you to your Wi-Fi network. That'll allow you to connect all the apps that are preloaded on the TV to streaming services. So likely it's already got Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and the like preloaded on it, and you'll just enter your account information for each of those streaming services that you want to use.
Bob in Kenosha also contacted us. He wants to know how to get rid of the pop-up ads that keep coming up in his on his screens.
Getting rid of the pop-up ads. So if it's on a laptop, usually in your browser, there is a configuration setting to block pop-ups. If you go into, there's a little gear icon generally on the far right side of the screen on your browser. If you click on that gear, it'll take you into the configuration settings for your browser. And I believe it's under the privacy settings that you can shut off the pop-ups, depending on which browser you use, but there's a setting that'll stop that from happening.
What are some of the best portable laptops for students and professionals? A question from someone.
Yeah. Definitely you're looking for different things. If you're a student versus if you're, someone in the professional world, you probably have, you are using different software and have different tasks that you want to use the laptop for, also probably a different budget. So if you're looking on the lower end of the price range for a really high quality laptop that would be great for, say, a college student, high school kid, the Asus ZenBook is now under $1,000. The 14-inch model has a really great OLED display on it. They're super portable. They're very lightweight and fast as far as their processing speed, so able to keep up with the latest and greatest software out there. So I would really recommend those Asus models for things on the lower end of the price spectrum. If you're looking for something more for business, a little bit higher priced, but is going to give you more computing power, is likely going to be a higher quality actual hardware parts within it, probably last a bit longer. I always try to stick with a couple of the well-known brands, Lenovo and Dell being the two that I'm most familiar with. I've had multiple models from each company. Both have been really excellent. I think the Lenovo ThinkPad, now they have the Generation 11 out. Those are very durable laptops. Really highly recommend those for folks who travel a lot. And then the Dell Precision Series laptop are great for office workers, folks who take their laptop back and forth between home and work or travel a bit. Not quite as speedy or as much memory as the Lenovo's, but still a really great product.
Beth D'Angelo, our guest. Questions for her, or maybe a suggestion of your own for a nice tech gift, or maybe you're having trouble with a tech you've got, give a call. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could email us. The email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Amber emailed us, how can she make the text on her screen bigger so she can read it better?
Yes. So generally, if you're talking about on a laptop, there will be accessibility settings. If you go into your start menu on a Windows machine and you type in accessibility, it should take you into a part of the settings that allows you to increase the size of text. You can also play around with the screen reader and other options on your laptop that allow it to, you know, be changed for differing people's needs. There are also accessibility settings on, say, an iPhone. If you go into the settings, I believe it's just called accessibility, there's a way you can increase the size of text on the screen on there as well.
Margaret emailed us recently. She heard a report saying that fitness trackers can keep, store, and share health information about you. Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, there is some truth to that. They do actually store some information locally on the device. It's likely not the device that's on your wrist is likely not going to have your personal information as far as who you are. And how you personally are related to the device, but in connection with whatever app on your phone that that device connects to, that would have a pretty general picture of who you are and would be able to correspond that with health data that's stored on that wearable device. So they do store, you know, things like heart rate. They store sleep patterns, steps, you know, activity, things like that. There's any number of details about your day-to-day life that can be tracked on those wearable devices.
And Pete and Superior emailed, are there tech developers working on anything like a program that can tell whether or not a photo has been doctored by AI?
Yes, actually, there are ways. There are services that are, I think they're out currently, that allow you to do some scanning on an image to determine whether or not it was AI generated. There are also a few out there that allow you to do that with text. So you could scan a bit of text and it can give you the probability of it being generated by an AI service. I'm just gonna see if I can find an actual address for you to check out while we talk.
Okay, we'll keep looking for that while we turn to Audrey in Waukesha. Hi, Audrey.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question regarding logging into AOL Mail from a laptop computer. It requires a secondary verification, and that is linked to a non-existent phone number. How do I get bypass that? Because they're saying I have to pay a monthly fee to get a live AOL person.
So you're trying to get in touch with AOL to, I'm sorry, you cut out for a second, so I didn't hear the first part.
Yes, so that I could remove the question requiring a secondary verification, because it says it will send it to a non-existent phone number, so I can't get a code to log in to
so
my laptop.
The secondary, yeah, so the secondary verification. So it's
screwed up.
Two-factor authentication that's trying to happen, and the number that it's trying to use to do that authentication is not valid?
Yes.
Is that okay? Does it offer you a way to do it through a recovery email address?
I have tried everything. I've spent hours on this and had people, family members trying to help me. They say that there's only, I've done it with a chat, if I want to talk to a real person at AOL, I have to pay a monthly fee to do that, to sign up.
They don't provide any like actual phone support without paying for it. So
nothing.
The only
no.
way to get support from them is just through chat.
Correct. And that I tried everything with them and they keep saying, "Oh, we can't solve your problem. You need to call and sign up for this monthly fee."
Interesting. I do have a phone number here you may want to try for live technical support with them. I don't know if you've called this number yet. It's 800-827-6364.
See, try that number, Audrey, and see if you can get somebody to talk to you live for free.
Yeah. Doesn't look like that is a paid service, so I think you may be able to get in touch with someone at least who could point you in the right direction.
800-827-6364.
Human being.
Yeah, 800-827-6364. There you go, Audrey. Thank you so much. It's tough when you can't talk to somebody in person. One good thing about Wisconsin, one good thing about Wisconsin Public Radio is you can always talk to us. You can talk to me when I'm on the air. You can talk to Jill Nadeau when she's on the air. If you've got a question, we have a guest. Either we can answer it, but most of the time it's people like Beth D'Angelo that have the information. Here we are in our year-end member drive, and maybe you've already given this year, you know, or maybe you make ongoing monthly gifts. Today, make a special year-end gift for the service you rely on all year long. Just takes a couple of minutes at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And it's a perfect time to give because we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now. And it's from current members, including a member in Plymouth. Basically, if you give 50, it turns into 100. 100 turns into 200. So take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That whole business about having a live person
answering
your questions. And here we've got, today we've got Beth D'Angelo, who always does a great job when it comes to IT kinds of things, computer, phones, and so forth. That's what we're talking with her about today. And I hope it's benefited you. How does your life enrich by this type of program? Or the other shows that we do that relate to a whole broad range of topics. Here, we're listener-supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this program and many more programs possible. So I hope you'll choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
And maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for you. When you think about it, a dollar a day is a really great value. It's less than you probably spend in a cup of coffee or a soda or a day of cell phone service.
Comes to about $30 a month, and you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or your charge it to your credit card. Make your gift right now. If the amount that's right for you, do it for that at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I decided to become a sustainer because instead of writing that one check every year, I thought, I don't want to have to worry, did I remember to do it? How much did I give before? Just set it up and let it flow and know that it's happening. I feel much better knowing that without my being able to screw up, WPR is getting that support regularly.
Consider becoming a sustainer with a regular monthly gift. Visit WPR.org to get started now.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Your support during our year-end member drive makes all the news, the talk, the music, the Larry Mueller show possible. Your gift, $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
It certainly is, and we just got some good news. We got a huge jump, so we have over $2,500 in the door already of that $3,000 match. So that means we only have $420 left on the table. So if you have not called, do it. Or if you haven't gone online, do it now. And December is a really great time of year to think about what's important to you. And because WPR is important to you, make a gift to support the station that you count on. You'll feel great when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget to ask for your 2024 Wisconsin State Park admission sticker when you give $25 a month or more. You can support one treasured Wisconsin resource, WPR, and get access to another, our state park system. Ask for yours right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, well, thank you very much. Make today the day that you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Sherry in Menominee Falls says, I absolutely love WPR. I listen to both live shows and on demand and especially love the Larry Mueller show. Thank you to WPR for all the great stuff. Aw, isn't that nice?
Yeah, it's great. What about you? Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Taking a look at technology on the show today, Larry Mueller here with my guest Beth DeAngelo, Senior IT Specialist at UW-Madison's Division of Information Technologies, answering your tech questions and also talking a bit in between those questions about IT gifts during the holiday season. John in Mount Horeb has a question, so let's go there. Hi, John.
Yes, thank you. I have a question about password managers. I'm wondering, is there really an advantage to, you know, buying a password manager? I'm thinking about programs like LastPass or Dashlane or, you know, Keeper.
Sure.
And, you know, is there an advantage to those versus Google Password Manager? Any thoughts on that?
What do you think, Beth?
Yeah, I haven't used Google Password Manager. I do use LastPass as my password manager, and it's been really advantageous in a lot of ways. As far as the difference between that and the free service offered by Google, I'm just wondering if there may be some differences in, what various sites would have access to store a password through the service. But I haven't used the free one through Google yet. So, I do recommend some form of password safe though, if you're not using one. They are, certainly helpful for maintaining complex passwords across multiple systems without having to, keep those in your memory or write them down anywhere.
So how much work is it to set that up? Let's say LastPass.
Very little.
Yeah?
Yeah. LastPass is very simple. So you sign up for the service. You can install the extension in your browser. Essentially, any website you go to that you log into, it prompts you to store the password for that service in LastPass. You can choose whether or not you want to store that password in your password safe. If you choose to store it in there, the only password then you actually have to recall is your master password for that entire password vault. Then anytime you visit a site or a service that requires one of those passwords, as long as you're logged in through your password safe application at the time, it'll automatically fill in your username and password for whatever service you have stored in there.
Marty emailed us, can you tell if a website is real or fake?
Well, it depends on what you mean by real or fake. So if you mean something where you maybe got an email from someone you're not sure of the origin, and it has a link on it, and you click on the link to that site and maybe say this email was telling you to go to your bank's website to enter some information in order to make sure your account doesn't get shut down. You want to make sure you look really closely at what we call the URL. That's the internet address that the website is taking you to up in the top address bar. You want to make sure that that's actually the website that your bank is using. So compare it to a known source. Google the name of your bank and then go directly to the link to their website to make sure it's the same. So as far as real or fake, it's really someone trying to impersonate another. So you really have to check against a valid source to make sure you're not getting tricked into going somewhere that's going to take your information.
Sarah in Madison has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I got a new laptop, and I was trying to transfer all my data from my old laptop, and I seem to have run into troubles. Is there an easy way to do that? I think my problem was that on the new laptop, I signed in with a different email address than on the old laptop, and now things are kind of mucked up.
Yeah.
If you were trying to transfer your emails from your old laptop to your new laptop, what you would want to do is make sure you log into your new laptop with your email address that you were using on the old machine. So log in to your email account. And then generally, you have to tell your email software whether or not you want to keep that locally. So if you go into the configuration settings for your mail client, let's say you're using Outlook, if you go into the settings, you'll want to tell it to store your mail locally, as well as on the server so that you have an actual copy of it on your laptop. If you're using something like Gmail, it doesn't matter. You're actually accessing that out in a cloud resource. So it's not, it doesn't live on your laptop. It lives, in a cloud, drive, in Google's service. But, if it's mail that you want locally on your machine, you have to use the same account.
So does Sarah have to start over then to get...
Well, I would say you can probably add the old email account into your mail client. So if you go into Outlook and you go into the settings and account section, you can add a second account. So if you add that old account in, it'll likely show you access to the mail that's in both.
Oh, okay. Sarah, does that help?
Yes, absolutely. I'm wondering also about transferring games over.
Yeah, if it's games that were installed from like a disk or that were downloaded from a website, you'll have to have those files that you used for installation on the new computer in order to run them, or you'll have to re-download them. If it's things like photos and documents, those are things you can either upload to something like Google Drive and then access them, within a cloud storage to download them locally, or you could take an external hard drive, plug it in, and move all of that data over to an external hard drive, and then plug it into the new machine, move it over to the new one. You can use a thumb drive, depending on how much data we're talking about.
Yeah, that makes that would be a simple way to do it, I would think. Sarah, good luck with that. Appreciate it. Gene in Milwaukee goes to the public library to use their computers to pay his bills online, and he accidentally pressed save card information on Google Chrome while using the computer, should he be worried? How can he wipe the library's computer's memory?
Yeah, what I'm hoping is that those library computers use something called like a kiosk mode, which means that every time someone logs into that machine, it's basically giving them a fresh version of the operating system and all of the programs that are running within it, so that nothing is saved after you log off of the computer. If that's not the case, I would ask, maybe go back to the library and ask the librarian if they can clear out any of the autofill information that might be stored in that profile. Because if it's saved in the autofill, the next time somebody goes to fill in a credit card field on a form, it may give them the option to fill in the information that you saved there. So if you remember which machine you used, you may want to go chat with the librarians about how that's set up to make sure it doesn't get stored in there. Otherwise, if you're really worried about it, I would maybe call your bank, have that card canceled, and have them issue you a new card.
Yeah, very, very good. That was, I think you gave a good answer there to that bad thing.
Yeah, a bunch of different ways to handle it, but yeah, that's concerning.
And what is always concerning to me is our year-end member drive. Jill Nadeau has this worried look on her face. No, she's tearing her hair out here as we talk about listener support the last 5 minutes before the top of the hour here. You make WPR programs possible, and I hope you'll give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Our dollar-for-dollar match is going along, but there's still money in there.
There is, Larry, but not much. $120 left of that $3,000. Thank you. Thank you for everybody who has given. And this was money that was donated from current members, including a member in Plymouth. And again, they double every dollar you give. And it's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your impact. Call now or go to WPR.org. The number is 888-202-2552.
You know, I was listening to Beth today. I don't know how many pieces of advice she's given, but it's been
a lot.
quite a bit. And I know she's saved some worry and some money to quite a few people so far. And maybe even when you were listening and, oh, I got that same problem and you were helped. So it's one way that, you know, we try to do this pretty much every month. We talk about IT issues. There are several items that we talk about every month that we hope enrich your life. And I think it's unique to public radio. And here we are, listener supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this program, many more programs possible. So choose an amount that works for you, take a couple of minutes, and make your gift.
And this member drive, support the essential news and entertainment you value and receive access to Wisconsin State Parks. Ask for your 2024 admission sticker when you give $25 a month or more. You'll enjoy access to more than 60 parks and recreation areas, all while supporting the public media service you and your neighbors rely on. Ask for yours now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I've just learned a lot by listening to public radio. I feel like I can use it. It's something I can use in my life and learn more or do something different or think differently. It kind of runs in my family. My mom listens to public radio. My dad listens to public radio. My brother listens to public radio, although I think he's unlucky because he lives in New York and we have the best public radio here. I've traveled around the country and this is the best.
That's
I'm
great.
Katie Simonson from Burlington. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news and information.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation during our drive. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau. WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support. And your contribution could be $10 a month, could be $100 a month, could be a lot more. I think we got a larger one earlier. Whatever amount you choose, it makes a difference for your entire community.
It certainly does. And help keep WPR strong as we enter 2024. Become a first-time donor. How exciting to be a first-time donor. Or make an extra year-end gift to support the news, talk, and music that you value. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Sustaining members provide a really vital and stable support for WPR. If you've already become a sustaining member, I want to thank you so much for that, for your ongoing support. If you aren't a sustainer yet, you could become one right now.
And as a sustainer, you'll make ongoing automatic monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. It's easy to set up at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And you'll feel really good every time you listen, knowing that your support is always current.
Still $120 to go on our dollar-for-dollar match. If you haven't done it yet, why not just contribute now that $10 a month, and we'll be covered here. Give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR goes twice as far.
That's right, and you know what? You'll get it over with, and you don't have to worry about it for the rest of the week. Just like WPR connects you with the statewide news, conversations, and entertainment, the State Park System connects you with Wisconsin's natural beauty. This member drive, you can support the WPR programs that you value and get access to more than 60 Wisconsin State Park and recreation areas with the 2024 admission sticker. Ask for yours when you give $25 a month now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We'll be back with Beth D'Angelo right after this look at the news. But if you haven't given, do it now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. We're talking about technology on the show today. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining in with our guest, Beth D'Angelo, Senior IT Specialist at UW-Madison's Division of Information Technology. Does a great job. Maybe your computer's having a problem. Maybe there's a phone issue. Maybe it's not downloading the software update to your computer. Maybe it's caught a bug. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. Wally in Oshkosh has a question, Beth, for us. Let's go there. Wally, hi. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am from Sweden, and I'm thinking about buying a Meta Quest virtual reality headset for my nephew to bring back to Sweden. But I don't know if there may be any complications with the software in there and other things that may not work on a European network, for example.
Oh, interesting. What do you think, Beth?
Yeah, I believe they actually do have a European version of it. I don't know if there's a different compatibility between the two, but they do sell a different version of it in Europe than they do in the U.S. So I would just, I'm just taking a look to see.
Yeah, take a quick look.
It doesn't look like there's any difference in compatibility. I think they may just have different, a little bit different style.
Oh.
I would follow up on Meta's website to make sure that any model that you're purchasing in the U.S. is still going to function on European networks. Likely they have some documentation out there that will verify that for you.
Yeah, you better check with Meta on that one, Wally, but give it a go. And thank you for calling. Brian in Fort Atkinson, your turn. Hi, Brian.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So the timing of your show is really good. There is an internet breach or security threat that's going around. It happened to me recently, and it happened to several people in the area where we woke up, checked our email, and there was an email saying, I've hacked your computer, I have access to your passwords, and they included one of my correct passwords in the email, and then they say they want $600 to stop attacking the computer, compromising the information, and violating the email account. And in this case, this person did get a hold of one of my professional email accounts, and that was linked to one of my Gmail accounts, so they were able to access that. I have been able to change the passwords, but in the email, they say they've put spyware and such on the computer, and I'm just wondering if your co-host today is familiar with this, and if it usually does come with some kind of Trojan or anything, or if it's just a bluff on their part and they just were able to get that one password.
Yeah, it's possible if they were able to get access directly to your machine that they may have installed some malware, or actually they may have actually used malware in order to get the information in the first place. So I would recommend running a full virus scan on your machine, and also some malware detection software. Malwarebytes is a good one. That's one that I've used for many years. To do a full scan of your system to make sure it doesn't detect anything that's still lingering on the machine. Always a good idea, yes, if you can go in and change those passwords. I would change the password locally on your computer as well to make sure that that is up to date. And honestly, any other passwords that you have stored on that machine, if you had anything set up to autofill on any websites, I would change those passwords as well.
Yeah. Would this be a case where LastPass would be useful? Something like that?
Very useful. Yeah, because LastPass you could set up to actually change all of those passwords from a central point. You wouldn't have to go to each of the services to change them. So if you wanted to just do a kind of an overall change of your passwords across the systems that you're using that password vault for, you could do that in an automated fashion. Makes it a lot easier to clean up after anything like this may have happened.
Yeah, for sure. You can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or email to ideas@wpr.org. Greer in Fond du Lac emailed us, how can she safely send and receive photos and videos through email or messaging apps? Sometimes she sends pics to her family and they go through text and get blurry. Why is that?
Yeah, you know, actually, I found the best way to share photos and videos is to use a cloud service, something like a Google Drive, or, you know, any of the, if you've got Gmail, you've already got access to Google Drive to be able to do this. But I would store those in a cloud service, and then basically you just share links to where the photos or videos are stored up in that cloud service. So you're not actually sending the full file through your email to another person's email. It really makes it a much smoother process. There's no issues with, you know, sending a version that's a lower resolution that would look grainy or pixelated or blurry. Everything is stored up in a cloud and is viewable on screen at the same resolution. So that's probably the easiest way to go about it.
Daniel emailed, I mentioned LastPass to begin with, but your LastPass, Daniel says, and we know, suffered a serious data breach in late 2022. Should we be concerned and perhaps use another service rather than LastPass?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, data breaches are getting more and more common these days. And I think that because LastPass, the breach was actually linked to a big cryptocurrency heist. There were a lot of financial fallouts from that. LastPass is probably the largest data breach you've heard of because it's the most, I think, widely used service. It's probably got the most market share. They do have a way to investigate whether or not any of your information was leaked as part of it. If you go to LastPass's website, they've got a whole bunch of recommendations that if you are a user of theirs and you're worried about any of your information having been leaked, there is a lot of information that you can glean from their support site. I don't think you're going to really see any greater security with any of the other service providers. I just think it's been most publicized with LastPass.
Trisha called, couldn't stay with us, but she bought a flip phone at Target and it has an eSIM card. How can she activate it, and what's an eSIM card anyway?
That's a new one, and a flip phone with an eSIM card. I'm imagining it's the way that a SIM card is the way that the phone device itself connects to your cell phone plan provider. So I imagine that an eSIM card is it's a software-based one rather than having an actual little hardware card for activating it. I would I'm not sure if the phone that you bought came with instructions on how to set that up or if there's a service that you need to call in order to activate it on the phone. But I would look at the documentation that came with that phone from where you purchased it.
Might be a phone number for sure. Yeah, you need to check back on. Hopefully, you still got the directions that came with the phone. Morris emailed us. What the heck's the dark web? Is it really part of the World Wide Web, or is it separate, or what?
Yeah, essentially, it's part of the World Wide Web, but it is not something that you could access using a standard web browser. You need something called a Tor browser, which is short for the Onion Router. It's a way to access websites that aren't cataloged through search engines like Google, through the standard DNS registry service. So the addresses aren't going to look like anything readable. You're not going to see a www.google.com as a friendly name to navigate to. It's going to be a very long string of letters and numbers that are the actual address leading to a dark website. So harder to find. You need to use a Tor browser in order to access it. Basically obfuscates or hides the website owner, and the Tor browser allows people to access it while kind of being anonymous. So, you know, it's a way for people to post and view things on the internet that are not typically legal. Generally, it's used for the sale of illegal goods or for people selling stolen identity information.
Ingrid emailed us. She's heard you talking about pop-ups and just wondered, where the heck do they come from? The website that you're on, is that where they come from?
Typically, it's the website you're going to. It'll have some pop-up, like an ad, or, oftentimes, like when you're shopping, you go to a website, and the first thing that'll pop up is if you put your email address in, you get 10% off, things like that. Like I said earlier, if you go into the configuration settings of your browser, you can check a box that turns off the pop-ups that you get fewer or none of those. Sometimes they're useful. Sometimes you actually need them. Say you have a banking website that uses a pop-up to bring up a login screen. If you have pop-ups disabled, it may tell you that you need to enable pop-ups in order to use the site. So you kind of need to be judicious about the ones you allow or if you're going to shut it off altogether.
Jim in Greendale emailed us in the spirit of gifts. He has a tech gift for travelers, a dual current power strip with USB ports and plug adapters.
That is an excellent idea, especially now that a lot of charging cables are moving away from the older USB adapter to the new USB-C, which is a smaller plug. So having a travel power strip that allowed you to plug in multiple types of cables through to one plug that goes into the wall makes it a lot easier to charge multiple types of devices.
I like that idea. Jean in Mozanie emailed. Her group has been using the iPad organization. They've been using iPad for some time. She has iPhone also, so operating the iPad, very easy for her. They're talking about changing to Chromebook. How much trouble will the transition be for someone who's not tech savvy? She loves all the apps and accesses that she can get on the iPad and iPhone, but she is not familiar with Chromebook.
Yeah, I would say it's going to be a very different experience.
Yeah.
So they're built on a pretty
different technology, the Chromebook being on an Android operating system and the iPad being on a Mac iOS or an Apple iOS operating system. I find the Apple products are a lot simpler to use just from a continuity standpoint. You know, if you have an iPhone and you have an iPad and you have a Mac, everything looks very similar and things are named the same, and it's kind of easy to go between devices and to move things between devices. Moving to something entirely new like a Chromebook, you'll have to get used to the way that Chromebook organizes all of your applications. You get used to downloading things from the Google Play Store rather than from the Apple iPhone or the App Store. So just a really different platform. Things will be named different. They'll be in different locations, and there will be an adjustment period. That's not to say that the Chromebook is difficult to use compared to the iPhone or an iPad, but it's just going to be getting used to a kind of a new environment.
Unfortunately, I'd stick with my Mac.
I think, you know, once you get used to one environment, it's really hard to change to the other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is indeed. Well,
I don't know. It's kind of like the old days of Coke and Pepsi.
Beth, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Beth D'Angelo, right here during our year-end member drive. Beth, of course, IT specialist at UW-Madison's Division of Information Technology. And Jill Nadeau has so many titles, I don't even know where to begin, but she's a boss, she's a producer, she does a little of everything, and she's also one of these people who comes around asking for your help during our year-end member drive. Your financial support's the foundation for all the great discussions you enjoy here every day, and I hope you'll make your tax-deductible year-end gift right now for 2023 at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Yeah, that tax-deductible year-end gift always makes people perk their ears up. It's that time of year. So we made our goal for last hour, and this hour we would like 20 gifts by 1 o'clock. Now, this goal is set up to make sure that we'll be in a good position to pay for the services that you value in the months to come.
Let's meet that goal. It happens one gift at a time, and let's start with yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and connected every day, and you enjoy this program and also like Chapter Day, which is coming up, or Science Friday, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and so many others that you've come to rely on.
I kind of like a way with words, too, sometimes.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It really, WPR is a place to listen and share so we can explore issues and understand different perspectives as well. So I hope you'll support the sense of community and connection you get here when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
From statewide news and talk shows to local music and entertainment, WPR is your source for everything Wisconsin. This member drive, let WPR connect you with even more of what Wisconsin has to offer. Ask for your 2024 State Park admission sticker when you give $25 a month or more. The adventure begins with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's a celebration of the season of giving. I think December, more money is donated in the month of December than any other month
of the year.
I
believe that, yep.
Special time, and this is a really special time between Thanksgiving and the New Year. A gift that doesn't involve wrapping paper or guessing at the right size.
Oh, that's a great idea. With just a few minutes of your time, you can make a gift for the essential public media service that you rely on every day of the year. It feels great. Find out now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I had a friend who gave his wife a membership.
Nice.
For a Christmas present. Last year, he did that. She liked that.
That's smart.
Well, if you ask a WPR member why they give, they'll probably tell you it just feels better to listen to WPR when you get it. It does feel good to know that you're part of making something special happen.
So make your first ever gift of, well, maybe it's $10 or $20 a month, and enjoy the excitement of supporting your Wisconsin Public Radio. It starts with your donation at WPR.org. Excuse me, or 888-202-2552.
I'm Margo Potacek, and I'm from Madison, Wisconsin.
And I'm Betty Potacek from Madison.
I grew up listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, and I listen at home. It's on the radio when I wake up. I listen in the car on my way to and from work on the weekends when I'm, if I'm cleaning, rarely, but I listen to it then.
I walk an hour a day, so when I'm walking, I listen to WPR on my phone. I used to listen to books. I download them, but I'm finding that listening to WPR, that's when I'm getting these topics that I didn't know that I was interested in.
Give now so you can hear more of the programs you love. Go to WPR.org and click donate. Thank you.
Give at WPR.org, or you can phone. It's 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for our shows, and that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does have an important impact.
Giving to WPR is easy. All we need is your name, contact info, and amount of your gift, and of course, how you'd like to pay it.
Takes a couple of minutes to make your contribution to WPR, and those few minutes fund your daily listening. Your support right now really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we've said this before, sometimes you actually get more than you pay for, and WPR is one place where that is true every single day. So consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
Can't buy much for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day actually makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. That works out about $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
This year-end member drive is a great time to make your last gift of the year to WPR. It just takes a few minutes of your time. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you give, you'll have that good feeling of supporting the station that you've enjoyed all year long and that you're looking forward to in 2024.
Today, when you support the programs you value on WPR, give an amount that's comfortable for you. Many people give $10 a month. Some give $20. Some give $100 a month or more.
Whatever amount you give, it'll support the programs that enhance your life and that give you information and entertainment every day. So give now, whatever works for you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This hour, we have a special goal of 20 gifts, and I want to thank you if you've already given. If you haven't, joined in at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You make WPR programs possible when you give.
And ask for your 2024 Wisconsin State Park admission sticker when you give $25 a month or more. Support one treasured Wisconsin resource, WPR, and get access to another, the State Park System. Ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I sent out a note, an email to sustaining members.
Yes, thank you. I got that, Larry.
Asking to increase, Jill, increase your support right now.
I need to do that, Larry. It's been a while.
What about you? Maybe today's the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month. Whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Lynn in Sister Bay says, great, knowledgeable hosts and guests help me do my part to be an informed citizen.
Here we are coming up to the bottom of the hour, but we're keeping going, and that $20 gift thing goes until 1 o'clock today. I want to thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, please do it now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk about how to lead a healthy life after being diagnosed with diabetes, an example of the kinds of shows we do here every day. Thanks if you've already given. If you haven't, do it right now.